The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Blake's Book Club. Today, we're talking about Chapter 3 of Midnight Sun, that being Risk. So, today's episode may be a little quick, as Mary is out. I'm with the children. You may hear them listening to some Frozen 2 soundtrack, and they may come interrupt me, so I will keep this one relatively brief. Here's another chapter that's interesting, and that kind of further proves my hesitancy to accept the conversation with Tanya as a legitimate reason for coming back to Forks, and the potency of that conversation, why it feels, again, more like a wink and a nudge than anything. Now, I've heard some of your comments concerning Tanya being a wink and a nudge, that, you know, it's meant to represent Edward's choice between his partners, that he isn't necessarily focused on Tanya as a partner. And he does have choices, and he turns them down. I would say at this point, though, while true, it's a relatively unnecessary view into Edward, because at no point are we even privy to the idea that Edward's even looking for a partner. He doesn't even mention being partnered up with anybody until this chapter, when he starts recognizing that he's the only one that doesn't have one. In terms of his family, there are three perfectly matched pairs in his family, of course, that being Esme and Carlisle, Rosalie and Emmett, and Jasper and Alice. He's the only one left over, and that they would probably feel better if he left, which is a little self-sorrow, self-pity, but it is what it is. So what I'm getting at is I'm not 100% sure if even with that, with those, you know, through that lens, rather, Tanya is really necessary for that chapter. And I think I'm further proven right by the fact that the conversation that Edward has with Carlisle before he leaves is far more poignant, far more accessible, and far more personal than anything that was accomplished with Tanya. Now, again, this is the author's story. It's something that that she obviously wanted to do. I'm not going to take that away from her. But I just feel like having that conversation between Edward and Tanya is one thing. But if that conversation were to happen between Edward and Carlisle, that's a whole other thing. You know, if Edward were to go away, but Carlisle was the one that left him with words, and Edward went away and thought about those words and gave them the, once he left Forks and got a clear mind, got back and said, no, Carlisle is my goal. Because he makes such a point this chapter to say, I really envy Carlisle. I helped him when he was working on patients, and I yearn to be like him, especially when it comes to Bella, when Carlisle has such self-control that he was admiring the difference between he and Carlisle. That to me is just so much more potent than the wink and the nudge of Tanya. But I do love Carlisle's, you know, fatherly guidance, and he's like, okay, you're gonna do what you're gonna do, and you can make that choice. If you need my car, here, take it. It's a full tank of gas. Though it's funny, because why does Edward need a car when he can just run as fast as he wants, really, with no fatigue whatsoever? He can go anywhere at any speed. Why does he need a car and a full tank of gas? That's just me. It just, if he moves so quickly that humans can't see him, which is something that he does prove in this chapter, what the hell is the point of a car for him? Nonetheless, this chapter further gets into what we see as Edward's infatuation.